And it's a great thing. And I just praise the Lord. We better get used to praising the Lord if we belong to Him, because that's what we're going to do for eternity. And it's going to be all about Him and not about us. His glory and His honor. Today we begin a new series of messages. As we've been praying over what God would, and we do this regularly, asking God, what do you want us to be sharing? We've got this whole Bible that we could be, every week, these 66 books, 39 old, 27 new, all one Bible, one Word of God. But God, what are you zeroing in on for us? And here's what the Lord has revealed to us. Title of this new message series is, Are You Tired of Spinning Your Wheels? Are you tired of spinning your wheels? Not going anywhere. Are there some things in your life that are the same today that they were 10 years ago? There's some things that you keep bringing to God and you say, God, I want to see that change in my life. I want to see that go away. I want it to be different. I want to be different. And I really believe that because I'm right there with you. And there's so many things. God, I'm just tired of this stuff. Are you tired of living unhealthy? And I mean, in every way, spiritually, physically. Are you tired of these circumstances that just keep coming back and biting you again and again? Do you want it to be different? You want life to be different? You know, every one of us has the opportunity to come before the Lord and hear what He says. And His Word is life transforming, isn't it? The Word of God says He spoke this world into existence. He spoke it into existence, and it was created. You know, I don't have to go through some long evolutionary trail to get back to the end where some guy that is entertained by his own intelligence can tell me what. But I really don't know where it started. I know where it started. I watched all three of my children be born. I've seen the miracle every day of life, of God bringing forth life. And I know God can do it again. The Bible says God breathed into man and he became a living soul. Something that mankind cannot create himself. Only God can do it. If we believe that what He speaks is true, and that He wants the best for us, then we must listen to His voice. What is He saying to you and to me? And many times we come into agreement with a lie. Let me tell you a story about that. Gulfstream jet took off in Savannah. Had a banker, had a businessman, in fact, it was a bank president. Had a hotshot businessman on there, a Boy Scout, and the pilot. They're cruising at altitude. When they can finally take off their seatbelt, the businessman jumps up, jerks off his suit, and underneath, he really is a terrorist. Jerks out an Uzi, that's an automatic weapon, and starts firing it all around and says, I'm taking over this plane and give me all your money. Well, the bank president, he is just back from Washington, and he's gotten bailout money. And the terrorist takes him literally. He says, give me all the money. And as he fires again, the fuselage starts leaking fuel. The pilot doesn't know what to do. The plane, all the buzzers are going off, all the lights are going off, and the pilot hollers out that, I'm losing fuel, we're going down. Terrorist grabs the money, jerks open the door of the plane, he jumps out with one of the parachutes on the plane. The pilot comes back, he's crying. He says, there were only three parachutes on this plane, and the terrorist just jumped out with one of them. There's only two left. The plane's going down. We've got to make a decision. He looks, and the Boy Scout, he's not saying anything. Bank president, he's down on his knees. He's praying, God, just help us. Do something. Do something. We got to have help. Show us which two of us get to use a parachute. Well, after he prays all that, the Boy Scout stands up and he says, well, fellas, God has already answered your prayers. What happened? He said, the terrorist just jumped out of this plane with my backpack. And we're all saved. Put them on, boys. God has provided. Now let me ask you. When that terrorist jumped out of that plane with that backpack, he just knew he had the money, he had the plan, everything was going his way. And when he pulled that ripcord, what happened? Does it matter what you put your faith in? Does it matter? As he was speeding toward his death, I'm sure that was the last thought that went through his mind. It matters a great deal whether we come in agreement with the truth or the lie. Now let me ask you again. Are you tired of spinning your wheels? Now today, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8. Familiar passage, anybody? Hope so. If it's not, hear it today and hear the waves of God's truth crash on your shore with His deliverance for your life. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Go back to the garden. What happened in the garden? There was a throwdown there, right? The evil one comes to God's perfect creation, and they decide to choose. Adam and Eve choose, and sin comes in. And what happens to the creation? It's the fall. Sin comes in. Perfection is no more. And it wasn't just man's spiritual condition, because you see, man's spiritual, the spiritual condition, and this is a lie that we dwell under in this country, we think you can have a spiritual life over here that doesn't have anything to do with life every day. And what I'm telling you today, it's all one life. You can't just live a spiritual life with Jesus and praising Jesus over here and have another life altogether. It's one life. Man's spiritual condition changed. The whole earth changed. Sin changed this world. And so every child that has been born, every person that has been born since that time, they've been born into a world of sin. A fallen world. But what does it say in the book of the Revelation? When it speaks of the Lamb of God, it speaks of Him in these terms. He is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. What does that mean? That means that even before that time, God in His sovereignty, God in His all-knowingness, God in knowing everything about everybody, He knew what was going to happen. God knew I was just going to click my fingers. God knew I was going to take the next step. God knew what you were going to be wearing this morning. Why wouldn't you want, by the way, a little side note, why wouldn't you want to listen to somebody who already knows what's going to happen? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't I? Back to the story. Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth. And there He enters in. We see that Adam and Eve are forced out of the garden. Scripture says, lest they go and eat of that tree of life. Now, let me tell you my interpretation. You can argue with me about it later on, but my interpretation of that is God was doing that as a part of His grace because He didn't want them to stay in a perpetual state of death forever. For if they had eaten of that tree, death would have been forever. But He had another plan. A rescue mission was already being planned. You know, even as He curses the serpent, Satan, the serpent, remember what He said about him? He said, oh, you're going to strike at His heel. Did Satan strike at Jesus' heel? Better believe it, when He went to the cross, He thought He had Him. Dead in the grave. But what happened 3 days later? The rest of that scripture took place. God said in Genesis, you may strike it at His heel, but He's going to what? Crush your head. How do you kill a snake? You crush his head. Thank you, Bob. And he's dead. Now, what does that have to do with what we read? For by grace you've been saved. The undeserved riches of Christ came to you. That's grace. You know the old acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. G-R-A-C-E. Good way to remember it. He exercises grace. He also exercises mercy, right? Because, and like this old boy told me years ago, he said, oh, preacher, just give me what I got coming. I just want God to give me what I got coming. Not me. Not me. When they start bringing out that ledger of what you owe, I don't want that ledger. I want the ledger that has been covered by the blood of the Lamb. The one that Jesus has taken care of all of it when He died on the cross. That's what that cross event is. That's why we celebrate the cross of Christ. He died there in our place. He was dead. He was buried. And by the way, you know what? For all the redactors who would come back and try to redo history and all the, they knew all the story that was going on. If they could have produced a dead body then, a week later, a month later, I guarantee you they would have bandied that body about. But they couldn't produce a dead body. Why? Because he was alive. When they went there on that resurrection morning, he had vacated the premises. He was alive. And because he's alive, there is power. He followed through. It's not just words we're talking. See, we have no need to keep spinning our wheels with all the trash that we follow, with all the garbage that we believe, that we allow to come into our lives. And we come into agreement with that junk about ourselves. There are some women sitting here today. You're still believing the garbage that some jerk of a man told you years ago about yourself. And he might have been your daddy. He might have been your stepdaddy. He might have been your first boyfriend. Or the way he treated you. I'm telling you, that garbage he spoke to you is hot from hell. And it is a curse on your life. God wants different for you. Because when he sees you, he sees you through the blood of Jesus. He sees you as that person for whom he died. If you were the only person in the world, the only person, Jesus would have died for you. There's some men sitting here that are so eaten up by the performance standard of this society that you can't live every week because you think that your life is being measured by what you do. By the world standards. By your being a success. By the world standards. And you think you've got to earn everything. I'm here to tell you. Today is about grace. It's about you getting something you don't deserve. God reaching into where you are. Into the slime pit of wherever you may have been. Whatever you may think. Whatever you may be looking at your life. I'm asking, that's why I began today with this thing about the truth and the lie. Hey, you may have jumped out of that plane with the Boy Scouts backpack, but I want you to know, Jesus will come and he'll rescue you. For by grace, the unmerited favor of God, you've been saved. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved Brother Dusty. For God so loved Bob. For God so loved Carol. For God so loved Davo. Mickey. Donnie. Gwen. God loved you. He gave. That's his motivation. You look at the base of it. Let me tell you, there's a throwdown battle going on for your soul right now. And the devil wants us to keep spinning our wheels in the city. That thing happened down at Emmett Park yesterday. The pagan festival. You read the article from Saturday a week ago. 2 weeks ago, excuse me. You read that article. Big spread about it. Color pictures. The pagan festival. And it was an in-your-face. We're going to invite everything that is not God to this city. Now, I'm telling you, it's time for us to quit rolling over for that garbage. It's time to say, God, I don't want the garbage truck to be backed up at my house, at my city, and everything just dumped here. It's time for the love of Jesus to to lead out in this society with truth and for people's lives to really change. For by grace you've been saved. Through what? Through the means of. Literally is what it says there. The preposition there, that phrase is through the means of, through the agency of faith. And then what does he say? And that, the capacity to even do that is not of you. Even that is a gift from God. Think of that now. Even that is not because you thought it was a good idea, because you decided you were going to be saved one day. You decided the terms on which you would come to Jesus. Is that right? No, sir. God came in His sovereignty and He met you. He met you. He came to you. You didn't go to Him. You turned. And you said, suddenly, oh, you're here. How long have you been here, Lord? How long has He been here? He's been walking with you every step of the way. How many times has God saved your life? Can you count them all? I'm sitting in a little Mickey Mouse trailer down Sunbury, Georgia with my good friend, Lindy Moore. We've been out busting shells with our 22 rifles. Shooting at bottles, been at a, you know, just having a good time, what teenage boys do. Having a great time. We just had us a nice dinner. We cooked over an open fire. Big sirloin steak. And we were sitting in this little trailer getting ready to go to bed and cleaning our rifles. And Lindy's sitting about this far across from me. And he brings his rifle down and all of a sudden I hear this, pow! My arm is here and the hole through the cushion is right here. Click, click. I was pretty white back then, but I got whiter. You understand me? Because whatever blood was left in my body just drained out as I thought, what could have happened? What was that? That was God's grace. For me, for you. Where have you been? Time to stop spinning your wheels and realize the great work God is doing in your life and that He's still after you. He's still pursuing you. Let's go back to it. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that, even that faith, is not yourself. The capacity to do that is a gift from God. He gives you the choice. You know, He could have just said, burn them down. Couldn't He? Have you ever asked that? Have you ever thought that? Lord, just go burn them down. Sort them out later. Boom. Aren't you glad He didn't do that with you? Not as a result of works, so that just a few people will be able to boast. Is that what it says? Not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. Nobody. Nobody can say, God, I've done this for you. God, I've had such great faith. Because you see, it's a level ground when you come before Jesus. Now hear another lie. That's another lie some of us have dwelt under. We think, oh, well, yeah, Jesus died for those people, but I'm too bad. Really? Really? Are you kidding me? You don't think the blood of the Son of God is enough to cover you. I can get pretty creative just in the Bible of people. Can't you? There's some scoundrels in the Bible, male and female. And God did a wonderful work in their lives. It's time to stop spinning your wheels. Then he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, to glorify the Father which is in heaven. Do you see where the works are? They're on the other side of his grace. Are you hearing me today? Now, over the next weeks, we're going to talk about this a lot, because this is a funky theology we've got where we mix works into things. We do this in order for, I attended church all those years. But what was your heart? Had you ever allowed Jesus to come and reign in your heart? I joined the church. Really? Really? But what had Jesus done in your life? I did religious things. Oh, here's another one. I was baptized. What did he say to the thief on the cross? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. He really didn't have a chance to baptize him there. You read through the book of Acts and you see how people came to faith and trust in Jesus, changed their lives, and then they were baptized as a testimony of their lives. Yeah. Constantine, great Roman emperor, he had them baptize the armies of Rome. Take them down there to the water and dip them, boys. What happened? They got wet. Because where does the first baptism have to take place? Right in here. Where the change is, where we're covered by the blood of the Lamb. This is an integral piece of your life. If you don't get this part right, all the rest of it is not going to make sense. And you'll spin your wheels, and the devil will lead you on all these rabbit trails about your life. But the simple good news. Why is it called good news? Because it is a gift from God. Not earned or deserved. If you're waiting for the place where I deserve it, or God, I've got to work these things out before I can come to you, you're never going to come. Because it never will happen. You'll never get good enough. You'll never work out enough things. It's only by His grace saying, God, I stand before you. I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned. I know my life is screwed up. I know I'm spinning my wheels. I call on you to do in me what I can't do for myself. Let me tell you one more old story. True story. Some of you have known me a long time, heard me tell this story before. It's a great one. It's actually happened. Unlike the Boy Scout story. That was good, though, wasn't it? Okay, MacGyver. I know some of you are guests with us today. You think, man, I ain't been to a church like this before. That's right. This is family today. This ain't religion. This is family. Guys at Niagara Falls, greatest tightrope walker in the world, gets him a line across from the American to the Canadian side. Are you with me? He gets out there, and man, he starts walking across there. Not long. He's got him a crowd. Americans, Canadians. They're watching him. Man, he's great. He can walk forward. He can walk backward. Comes back to the thing. He says, man, do you think I can walk on my hand? Well, a few of them, you know, they clap a little bit. Well, then he goes and right across to the other side on his hands. Comes back to the American side. He's got a wheelbarrow. Takes the wheelbarrow. He said, do you think I can push this wheelbarrow across? Well, a few more. There's, this is great. Pushing the wheelbarrow across. Man, he's good. Comes back to the American side. He's got these 200-pound sacks of sand. He says, how many of you really think that I can push these 200-pound sacks of sand across to the other side? Man, they're crazy now. Oh, they're true believers. They're getting Baptist-costal on them at this point in time. And so he gets the sacks of sand and he puts them in the wheelbarrow and he says, no. He takes the sand out and puts both bags on the ground and he says, now how many of you really believe I can do this? Oh, they're crazy. He says, well, what's the punchline? What? Come get in the wheelbarrow. There was not one true believer. It's time to stop spinning your wheels about faith in Christ alone. Have you thrown your entire life into His hand? Not mixed with a little bit of works or a little bit of religious stuff or but said, Jesus, I do believe You are the only way, the only truth, and the only life. I don't know your spiritual condition here today. But we'll tell you that this is two Sundays in a row that when I came here, the sermon I had written down over there is different than the one that God brought. But I believe it's for us. And not just hokey-dokey preacher talk. Have you done business with Jesus? Do you have Him in your life? Do you know that you know that you know that He is your Savior and your Lord? Have you given your life to Him? Just a moment. Our worship team's going to come and we're going to play and we're going to open the altar. And if you want to come I'd sure like to know. I'm going to pray a prayer with you, and it's a prayer where you can state your faith, a prayer that you can get in the wheelbarrow if you'd like to. And let me say to you, if you decide to do that today, and it doesn't matter how many churches you've been a member of and all that, that's just religious stuff. If you pray that prayer and mean business with God today, I sure would like to know about it. Come up here and let me know. Put it on your card, but it would be great for you to come up here to publicly say that. I choose Jesus. I choose Him in my life. And the altar's open if you want to come pray about everything else. I preach an evangelistic message, but I'm sure it's been heard through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in a lot of different ways today. So the altar's open for you to come. We understand one another? Okay, let's pray. Lord, I thank You for making the good news so simple. Just a few moments ago, we were praising You in this place. Not, Lord, as one of the options, but as the only way to life eternal. The only way for a changed life. Lord, right now as we're about to pray this prayer, Lord, I'm praying for all the people within the sound of my voice. We come from a lot of religious backgrounds and all. Lord, wipe all that away right now. Just speak to us directly. Now, if you want to get in Jesus' wheelbarrow today, place your faith in Him. Doesn't matter what the past has been, because He forgives you of all your sin. Pray this prayer with me. And mean business with God. Lord Jesus, I realize I need You today. And I come before You with all my sin, my past, everything about me, Jesus. I lay it at Your feet. I ask Your forgiveness. And I ask You to come into my life. Jesus, I am vacating the throne of my life today. And I'm asking You to come and to live in me. Because Jesus, You are Lord. Thank You for saving me. Lord, I'm trusting You with that prayer today. I'm praying, God, we'll mean business with You. In Your name we pray. Amen. The altar's open. If we could have your attention just for a second. If you can be seated just for a second.
I need all the youths to come up here, the teens.
While they're coming, just want to thank you for your prayers. Did you feel God do some great work here today? Anybody had God do something in your life here today? Has He spoken to you? Well, some chains have dropped here today. And some folks have gotten traction today to quit spinning their wheels. We've got a presentation now. Miss Gwen, if you come up here at this time. This is your life. Isn't Gwen beautiful? Gwen is the director of the Savannah Care Center. Okay, Donnie.
I can't. Okay, here a few weeks ago, we were doing a little video series, the Pneuma series, and it was on servanthood. And these guys did a service project along with my wife, but they made these quilts. The guys and the gals did the quilting, did the cutting of the material to do the binding on them. And they made these quilts for the babies that Gwen gets to serve. And we would like to give these to you.
That's sweet. This is really a surprise, and I just thank you so much. And we do have some special babies that get a chance to use these, especially when they're getting cold. So thank you so very much.
Thank you.
And Beverly's back there grinning. You almost got to come up here yourself. That's grace. That's grace. Well, the Lord bless you today as you go in His name and in His power. Let me send you out with this prayer. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you gave all that we might be with you forever, starting right now. Lord, send us out to live out the life of Jesus, to be the different people you have called us to be. In your name we pray. Amen.